Hello. Here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, February 21st. From Luke Runyon, climate change is already reducing the amount of water available in the West's sprawling Colorado River Basin. A new study by federal scientists finds that even moderate warming will reduce river flows in the watershed. Chris Milley is a hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey and authored the study. Milley says that the warming temperatures lessen the amount of snowpack.
As the snowpack declines, the basin is absorbing more radiation. That radiation is energizing the evaporation. It's cranking it up and leaving less water behind to fill the river and to supply the 40 million users downstream.
Seven U.S. states, including Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona, California, and Nevada, depend upon the Colorado River for drinking and irrigation water. And now for KVNF News, Corey Stanton tells us about the large herd of elk that has been hanging out in the North Fork Valley this winter.
Over the past 2 months, if you've driven through Paonia or Hotchkiss, you may have noticed an elk herd between mile markers 2 and 6. This herd is being managed by Colorado Parks and Wildlife and is known as Game Management Unit 521. Unit 521 is part of the entire Grand Mesa elk herd population. Over the last 10 years, the western slope of Colorado has seen a decrease in elk population. The bull-to-cow ratio has gone down, and we've seen a decrease in cow-to-calf ratio as well. KVNF spoke to Colorado Parks and Wildlife Paonia District Manager Andrew Taylor about the elk herd known as Unit 521 and about the Grand Mesa elk population as a whole.
So right now our population model is showing that we have 14,000. Our population objective, it's supposed to be between 15 and 19,000 is our objective. And we are at 14,000 right now, so we are below objective.
What can you do to increase the elk?
There's several different things we can do. The biggest thing, easiest thing is decrease licenses.
Okay. Well, let's talk about safety, because that's obviously a factor. These are huge animals. How much do these elk weigh on average?
I'd say they'd probably be around 600 pounds.
That could do some damage to a vehicle.
Definitely. Big safety concern, especially in the evenings and the early mornings. Just be cautious of elk crossing. They usually a lot of times bed down on the north side of the highway, and they'll cross and feed on the south. So just be cautious because they can do damage. And a lot of people have been stopping and taking pictures of them along the highway. You can stop and take pictures, but don't do it along the highway. There's plenty of places to pull over. There's some other county roads that you can pull off of. Campbell Road is one. Just don't park along the main highway. Very big safety concern.
It looks like there is a white or somewhat reflective tape that's going to cross the fence line off of the highway. Is that for the elk so that they can see the fence line?
Exactly. It's for the elk and deer. So when they cross, they don't get tangled up in the fence easy. They can just jump it and be able to see that top strand on that barbed wire. Sometimes a lot of the elk will spend the daytime on the north side of the fence, on the north side of the highway, and then they'll come and feed in the field at night, and they'll cross the highway every evening and every morning.
That was Colorado Parks and Wildlife Paonia District Manager Andrew Taylor. Andrew said that Unit 521 could stick around the Paonia and Hotchkiss area through March, depending on the snowpack, and he encourages drivers to continue to keep an eye out for our four-legged friends. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton.
Democrats are unveiling legislation to create a statewide paid family leave program. It would give workers time to care for a sick relative or a newborn. A similar plan did not make it out of the legislature last year. KUNC's Scott Franz has a feature story about the changes to the new bill and its likelihood of passing.
In many ways, the debate is the same for Senator Faith Winter. Finding a way to give moms more than 2 weeks to be at home with their newborns. But getting there may mean giving up parts of her dream.
The biggest change is last year it was a social insurance program where every employee and every employer paid into a state-run program. This changes it because it's run to ensure a private market that's affordable.
In other words, the latest version won't be as ambitious or impactful. As written now, only companies with more than 20 employees will have to provide a leave program, and the length of time has been cut from 12 weeks to 8 weeks.
I don't think out of the gate this is going to be something or can be something that is going to be universal. It's just too much to take on all at once.
And Governor Jared Polis is the biggest reason why. He made it clear at the start of of the session that he doesn't support having the state run the program itself.
We want to make sure that the state's not on the hook from a fiduciary perspective, that taxpayers aren't at any risk from it.
So Winter worked with the governor on a new draft of the bill.
He has been very involved and is extremely on board with this plan.
And she's making other changes to gain support. For example, the bill would not apply to seasonal workers like those at ski resorts, but Winter hopes it will eventually be expanded to include them.
Ultimately, in 2027, it goes to 12 weeks of paid leave with a rulemaking that will work to set goals towards universal coverage, both for small businesses, seasonal workers, and we will get to where everyone in Colorado has paid leave.
We all want people to be able to care for the people that they love, for their family members.
But there are still skeptics.
The reality is you peel this onion down all the way to its core, and at its core is an enormous tax.
Republican Senator Paul Lundeen says he'll fight against it when it reaches his committee. He fears a new state program would hurt small businesses.
We don't want the government getting in the way, shutting down a wonderful program to roll out something that may not even be sustainable over time because the tax consequences, the economic consequences, can be so negative that the whole thing falls like a house of cards at some point down the road.
My friends on the Republican side of the aisle would rather deal in tax credits, but if we're dealing in tax credits, low-income workers would never have access, in my opinion, to something like this.
Winter knows she faces opposition, but believes the bill will save lives.
I've met cancer patients that skip their second round of chemotherapy because they can't afford to lose their job, because their choice is to either battle cancer or not be able to pay rent. And when you're battling for something that saves lives, you can't stop working for it.
So, with so much at stake, is there a plan Senator Lundeen and other critics will accept? He says there's always a way forward.
You need to have something that's sustainable, and you need to do something that pulls people into a system, because if people choose to opt into something, it will have a greater likelihood of surviving, being sustainable, and continuing on. Using government fiat to force something that may or may not be economically sustainable usually ends in tears.
While Winter would have preferred a universal model like the one that failed last year, she thinks the compromises she's made will get enough support to get it passed even without Lundeen's vote. More than a dozen states have debated bills like Colorado's in recent years, but only 8, including California and New York, have passed their own paid family leave programs. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, February 21st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.